Thank you for your patience, ladies and gentlemen. Ms. Jones, who normally has everything just running so quietly over there, has for the first time given a speech, then put us all on recess for 15 minutes. So we appreciate that little rest there. We will now continue with the hearing. I do want to say that the original item number 4, property-specific zoning cleanup, we will probably not hear that until after lunch. So if anybody's here to speak on that item and they want to take a break, they can. So staff, if you would now continue with our new item number 2 or 3, original item number 5, Hamishaw Wireless Telecommunications Facility P03-103W.
Good morning, Chairman Pallinger and Commissioners. My name is Ashley Gungle with the Department of Planning and Land Use. I will be presenting on item number 5, which is the Hamishaw Wireless Telecommunication Facility. The department is before you today recommending denial of this project. The project site and surrounding area, as reflected in this aerial photo, can generally be described as vacant lands adjacent to the Sweetwater Reservoir to the south and east, a mobile home park to the north, and dense residential development to the west. The project site is located directly south of Hamishaw Boulevard in the Spring Valley Community Plan area and contains an existing county sewer pump facility, which will be undergoing renovations and an expansion in the near future. As shown in this slide, all of the properties surrounding the project site are subject to special purpose and residential zones, which are considered non-preferred zones pursuant to the Wireless Telecommunication Ordinance. Although the site is a preferred location since it is located at a government facility, the project does not comply with all required major use permit findings nor all design requirements pursuant to the Wireless Telecommunication Ordinance. This wireless facility was originally approved in July 2005 to allow for the construction of a 45-foot faux monocypress and associated equipment. The facility was actually constructed to a height of 50 feet 6 inches. The faux monocypress design was originally chosen for this location due to the existence of 2 cypress trees seen in the left-hand side of this photo. The cypress trees appear to be approximately 35 feet in height and do not appear to have grown since the approval of the original major use permit. As seen in this photo, the facility in its existing state greatly exceeds the height of the live cypress trees, which are approximately 35 feet and differ significantly in shape and design. The applicant is currently proposing an addition of roughly 14 feet to the approved height of the faux monocypress for a total height of 58 feet 6 inches. Although staff worked with the applicant to concentrate on replacing the existing live cypress trees with much taller replacement trees, the applicant was unable to support our request due to various considerations, including cost and a lack of available replacement trees of this height in local nurseries. Staff also worked with the applicant to replace the existing faux tree with an alternate tree type, which was tall yet slender enough to occupy the existing area on site and could be appropriately screened with similar trees. The applicant was unable to support this request due to the cost associated with replacement of the faux tree. Aside from the 2 existing live cypress trees, the project site lacks other vertical elements which would serve to buffer and screen the facility. Based on the proposed modifications to this facility, staff is unable to make all major use permit findings, specifically in regards to harmony in scale and bulk and harmful effect on desirable neighborhood character. An increase in the height of the faux monocypress would lead to a visual impact upon surrounding residential land uses, as well as drivers traveling along Hamishaw Road. Additionally, the proposed modification does not comply with General Plan Policy LU 15.1, Telecommunications Facilities Compatibility with Setting, which requires that wireless telecommunication facilities be sited and designed to minimize visual impacts and to be compatible with community character. The project would not be properly camouflaged or screened, would stick out from the surrounding environment, and would result in a visual impact on surrounding residences and drivers. The line and form of the facility would not be consistent with other elements that make up the visual setting of the area, and therefore the proposed project would not be consistent with the existing community character. Finally, the proposed modification does not comply with Section 6987B of the zoning ordinance, which states that all camouflage facilities shall be designed to visually and operationally blend into the surrounding area in a manner consistent with community character and existing development. The facility shall also be appropriate for the specific site. For example, it should not stand out from its surrounding environment, such as a faux tree standing alone in a field or standing at a greater height, 5 feet or more, than other trees on the site. The proposed increase in height of the monocypress would exceed the height of the live cypress trees on site by more than 20 feet. On October 25th, 2011, the Spring Valley Community Planning Group voted to approve the project with the condition that the existing live cypress trees are replaced, preferably with 36-inch box trees. While staff is opposed to this particular design, based on the reasons outlined previously, we are not opposed to a modification of this site that would be adequately screened. This concludes our presentation, and staff is available to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Commission, any questions of staff?
Well, it's actually not a question, it's an observation. This is on county land, county-owned land, is that correct?
That's correct.
When I read this, I thought, boy, that's gutsy. So they were issued a permit with certain standards in it, and they exceeded the standards in the permit, and then on county land, no less. And now we're coming back to ask for an expansion of that facility. So I think I can understand why this isn't a staff position, but it certainly is a concern of mine at a policy level. You know, if this is granted, the message is that, yes, you just come in, you ask for forgiveness, and not only will you be forgiven, but you can actually expand your facility. So I think that's really bad public policy on two levels. Number one, it doesn't create a level playing field for people who do want to comply with the regs that we have, and we have these hearings and debates about the standards. That's where the debate should take place. But once those are established, they need to have meaning and need to be meaningful. So I understand why staff's not making the argument I just made, but that's where I'm coming from.
Thank you, Commissioner Beck. Any other comments or questions at this point? Commissioner Day, do we have public speakers on this?
Two. First is Representative of Spring Valley Community Planning Group, Scott Montgomery, and then followed by Jim Kennedy on behalf of the applicant.
Morning, everyone. Scott Montgomery, Chairman of Spring Valley Community Planning Group. As just mentioned, Planning Group did hear this request by AT&T October 25th last year. And after hearing the details, we did recommend approval of the extension of the antenna by 8 feet. Motion carried by 9-3 vote. And the rationale was an extremely tiny impact on the appearance of the community. With our thousands of trees, it is highly unlikely anybody would ever notice the extension on this antenna. It's, as shown in the picture, I think very well disguised, and some thought that it even looked better than the real trees. We believe that the benefits to the community of enhanced broadband service and high-speed connectivity vastly outweigh the antenna being higher than the standard. And while we do strive for very high standards, majority of the members believe that this project is worthy of a waiver, and I felt strongly enough to take time from my day to come tell you so.
And we appreciate that. Thank you very much. Our second speaker.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes, good morning, Planning Commission. I want to thank you very much for putting this on your agenda. I'm going to be as brief as possible, recognizing the nature of your agenda this morning and the individuals you have present. Firstly, I'd like to respond to Mr. Beck's comments about the approved height and the built height.
We have your name for the record, please, sir.
Jim Kennedy, representing AT&T Mobility. Thank you. This was a great surprise to me. I hadn't heard of this until the staff report came out. We had talked with staff several times through the whole process, seeing if we could come to a concurrence on the design and their recommendation. So I'm not sure that that's correct. I'm very surprised to hear that. I can't say anything more about that right now, but it is a great surprise to me. I'd like to just go ahead and describe our project to you and the reason for our design at this time. And that issue perhaps could be discussed further. I don't want to take time with that, but truly, I'm very surprised to hear that. Okay, I'd like to just say that this project before you today is part of AT&T's region-wide, we call it LTE 4G upgrade, in which we're going through our several hundred sites within the region, one by one, looking at the best design alternative to meet local ordinances and to install our 4G equipment. And we worked with staff over a period of many months, and you know, we mutually agreed to a couple of delays to coming before you to see if we could come to a concurrence in our opinions on the project. Because coming before you with a very important project with this kind of recommendation from staff is the last thing that we want to do. We want to go forward with our projects. Point being is that we will do essentially anything as far as a design solution goes in order to satisfy the decision makers. Every site has its constraints and opportunities. This particular site is relatively small and also has the further constraints that because it's essentially a pump station, there's a great amount of subgrade structures so that we don't have the ability to take our a faux tree footing and relocate it or install maybe two faux trees, which would be lower, which was one of the suggestions. That would be fine. In addition, the county is getting prepared to completely demolish the entire site and upgrade it and reconstruct it so that our footprint, what we have now, is really what it is for those reasons. Not just because they're reconstructing it, but because it's a constrained site and have subgrade structures. So our base station equipment area is capable of holding our new generation radios, and the antenna location installation for the site needs to remain where it currently is, meaning utilizing the existing footing. We did structural analysis on our existing, really it's a telecommunications pole, and found that it could support the additional course of antennas for the upgrade. And, you know, of all the faux tree types that are available, the Italian cypress is one of the best for concealing antennas. One of its limitations, though, it doesn't have much diameter to you know, how our antenna arrays often expand outward. The Italian cypress does not permit that. And so if we're to use an Italian cypress, it essentially needs to go upward. So the impact is increased height. But the benefit of this particular faux tree type is that it completely conceals the antennas. In fact, when we were before the community planning group presenting our project, most of the members weren't even aware that there was a telecommunications facility there. Now, we are well aware of your standards in your telecommunications ordinance in terms of integration and in terms of the facility not standing out alone in a field. And staff has let us know that the commission has let them know that they're looking closely at installations that would project above the you know, existing environment. This site has constraints, and it looks like I need to finish up. This site has constraints because it's small. There's very little on-site and off-site foliage. And we have come to the conclusion that this is really the design that we need to pursue. Otherwise, it's a residential property that we're going to be looking for. So to sum up, we're just trying to provide the high-speed services for this community. We were able to cover these residential areas from a non-residential site and provide those kinds of personal business and emergency communications that people are expecting to have these days. So thank you for hearing
my report. Thank you, Mr. Kennedy. Are there any questions of Mr. Kennedy, the applicant?
Yeah, Mr. Kennedy, I guess it begs the question, why did you build it higher than the permit?
Well, that, as I indicated, is in question. I'm not sure that's the case. I don't believe, at this point, I don't believe that we did. We've been working with staff for months and months, and
Is there a question about the height, in your opinion?
No, and I'd like to clarify the Planning Commission. We did raise this issue with the applicant. It's not new information to them, and it is a 50-foot structure as labeled on the plot plans.
Okay. So what's the question is, if we deny this, what do they have to do? Do they have to lower it to the approved height? And if so, what's the hammer to make them do it, et cetera?
Commissioner Woods, through the chairs, one option would be for the applicant to revise that facility down to the approved height of 45 feet. They could also have the option of filing for a major use permit modification for another height exception to the 50 feet for the existing facility. But with that, the issue would still be a concern for the screening to be adequate for that increase in height.
Well, I kind of agree with my colleague, Mr. Beck, that, you know, we don't want to set a precedent here that you can get a permit for a structure and then exceed the height at will with no consequences. So I'd be in favor of the...
I agree. It's unfortunate that they're not in conformance and seem to be willfully out of conformance, but at the same time, the community is looking for improved service. So I don't know how you weigh those two against one another.
Well, there's nothing more ubiquitous in front of the commission than cell towers. I mean, we have them all the time. And they're being put up all over the county, and there's different providers and different carriers. It's not as if we support staff's position, they will be able to maintain their facility and whatever coverage that provides. And I can't imagine this is like creating jeopardy for cell phone use in Spring Valley. So I think that that policy issue overrides this particular request. And so I'd make a motion to support staff's position.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second on the floor. Any further discussion? All right, we'll vote. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed.
All supporting the motion, with the exception of Commissioner Day voting in opposition. And that concludes that item.
Thank you.
We can take our break now prior to the start of the Thule Wind Energy, or should we just power through?
Well, as I mentioned to the chairman, I've got a call that I have to be on at 10:30. We generally break around 10:30, and I didn't know this morning was going to work the way it did, but it doesn't affect my need to be on that call at 10:30. So I thought we'd break at 10:20 or 10:25. So my call's probably going to be, I don't know, maybe 5 or 10 minutes at the most, but still that'd be a long break if we left now.
So we will start with the staff report and hope to finish that prior to our break at 10:25.
Okay.
We'll excuse you.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Day?
I'm going to have to recuse myself from this item based on the involvement of my employer.
So we'll excuse Commissioner Day for the balance of the meeting. Thank you very much. Have the record reflect. Commissioner is now minus Commissioner Day.
Good morning, Chairman Pallinger and Commissioners. My name is Mark Slovic with the Department of Planning and Land Use. I will be presenting item number 6, the Thule Wind Energy Project. The project is a result of negotiations and revisions that address various project issues involving numerous public agencies, districts, and the public. While we do not have full consensus with all stakeholders or the applicant, the department is before you today recommending approval of the project with no turbines in the unincorporated county and a requirement to underground the transmission line. Today's presentation will be broken down into 4 parts. First, we'll explain the proposed project and site description. We will then provide an overview of the environmental review. Then we will discuss the project challenges and conclude with the planning group and staff recommendation. Starting with the proposed project and site description. The Thule Wind Energy Project is located in the southeast portion of the county on land under the jurisdiction of the Bureau of Land Management, Tribal Lands, California State Lands Commission, and private land under the jurisdiction of the County of San Diego. The overall project consists of approximately 725 acres and includes 92 wind turbines in the 1.5 to 3 megawatt range, capable of generating up to 201 megawatts of electricity. The project requires approval from the BLM, Bureau of Indian Affairs, California State Lands Commission, and County of San Diego. The BLM is the only agency that has made a decision on the Thule Wind project, which we will discuss later on. The portion of the Thule Wind Energy project under the county's land use jurisdiction is located within the Mountain Empire and Boulevard subregional planning areas, and is indicated in green on this slide. The other portions of the project are on BLM land or tribal lands and not up for your consideration today. The county portion will be located over 16 privately owned parcels covering approximately 200 acres, shown in green. As reflected in this aerial photo, the site can generally be described as undeveloped rural land with rural residential uses. However, there are a number of existing rural uses in the area, including Rough Acres Ranch Camp, the Lark Canyon Off-Highway Vehicle Park and Campground, and the McCain Valley Conservation Camp. The county portion of the project is identified in green in this slide. The project consists of five large wind turbines with a maximum height of 492 feet, a 34.5 kilovolt above ground and underground collector cable system, a 5-acre temporary concrete batch plant, a 5,000 square foot operations and maintenance building, three wells for groundwater extraction, a 5-acre collector substation, and a 138 kV overhead transmission line that would run south from the project substation to interconnect with the SDG&E rebuilt Boulevard substation. The project also includes the construction of a new private road from Ribbonwood Road to McCain Valley Road. The proposed wind turbines, shown here in red, would be grouped in rows and connected by a 34.5 kV underground collector cable system. The collector cable system would connect the turbines to the collector substation shown here. Also located on the collector substation site would be the 5,000 square foot operations and maintenance building, a 5-acre temporary concrete batch plant. Up to 12 full-time employees would work out of the O&M building. The temporary batch plant would be used during construction to mix concrete for the foundations. The proposed project would transmit electricity from the substation via an overhead 138 kV transmission line, shown in yellow on this slide, to the rebuilt Boulevard substation. The transmission line would be approximately 5 miles in length and would transverse BLM, California state lands, and private lands within the county of San Diego, shown in green. Here's a photo simulation from the applicant of the proposed transmission line and 120-foot tall towers taken looking north.
Pardon me. Would you go back to the previous slide? You named three or four different entities. Can you describe which is which that own that property?
The dark gray area shown here, Commissioner, is BLM land, and then this portion here, I believe, is California state lands.
And the green is private?
And that's private land within the county of San Diego.
Okay, thank you.
Here's a photo simulation from the applicant of the proposed transmission line and 120-foot tall towers taken looking north on McCain Valley Road. The towers are located on the right-hand side of the slide and indicated by the white arrows. The 5-mile-long transmission line would require approximately 27 large towers and would be the third utility line installed along McCain Valley Road. The existing 120-foot tall Sunrise PowerLink lattice structures are visible just east of McCain Valley Road, shown here.
What's the height of those again?
Approximately 120 feet. Next, I would like to turn the presentation over to Kristen Blackson, the EIR coordinator for the project, who will provide an overview of the environmental review.
The environmental analysis for the Tule Wind Energy Project was conducted by the California Public Utilities Commission, the PCUC, and the United States Department of Interior, BLM, with the County of San Diego acting as a responsible agency under CEQA, not the lead agency. An environmental impact report was certified for the project by the CPUC on April 19th, and an environmental impact statement was certified by the BLM on December 19th. The EIR, EIS, analyzed three proposed projects in the same general area. The Tule Wind Project, shown here in red. The East County Substation, ECO, shown here in blue. And the ESJ Gentai Project, shown here in green. The Tule Wind Project and the ESJ Gentai Project are under the county's land use jurisdiction, whereas the ECO Substation Project is under the jurisdiction of the CPUC. The project would result in direct and cumulatively significant and unavoidable impacts to cultural resources, noise, and air quality. Additionally, the project would result in significant and unavoidable cumulative impacts to biology, public services, and utilities, and water supply. Therefore, because the project would have significant and unmitigated impacts, the Board of Supervisors would have to adopt a statement of overriding considerations to approve the project. As we mentioned previously, the BLM has approved a total of 62 turbines on BLM land. The approval resulted in elimination of 34 proposed wind turbines and required that the 138 kV transmission line be installed underground. It is important to note that the alternative approved by the BLM does not include any wind turbines on county land and is consistent with the department recommendation. I will now turn the presentation back over to Mark to go over project challenges.
Thanks, Kristen. First, I'd like to start with the major use permit findings. The proposed project includes five large wind turbines with a maximum height of 492 feet, which are prohibited by the county zoning ordinance. To approve the proposed wind turbines, an amendment to the county zoning ordinance would be required for this specific project, along with a finding that the location, size, design, and operating characteristics of the proposed use will be compatible with adjacent uses, residents, buildings, or structures, with consideration given to harmony in scale, bulk, coverage, and density. Based on the height of the proposed facility, this finding cannot possibly be made. The site is surrounded by rural undeveloped land with some residential uses scattered miles apart. Here is a photo of the surrounding area taken from McCain Valley Road looking southeast. The only large existing structures in the area are the Sunrise Power Link lattice towers that are approximately 120 feet in height. There are no other buildings taller than a two-story house in the area. The proposed wind turbines will be more than four times taller than the existing lattice towers and 16 times taller than a two-story house and would be incompatible in terms of bulk and scale. There are wind turbines located on the Campo Indian Reservation. However, they are approximately 4.5 miles west of the project site and therefore are not appropriate for comparison because they are not located adjacent to or even near the project site. This slide shows the proposed 492-foot tall wind turbines in comparison to a typical two-story house, the County Administrative Center, and the Statue of Liberty. The tallest buildings in the project area are two-story homes, and the wind turbines would be more than three times taller than the CAC, and certainly incompatible in terms of bulk and scale to any existing structures in this rural area. I would like to now go over undergrounding. The department recommends that the transmission line be undergrounded for three reasons. First, the BLM required the transmission line to be installed underground. Second, the proposed overhead utility line would not be consistent with the policies of the Boulevard Subregional Plan that prohibit industrial scale structures and would require an amendment to the subregional plan for this specific project. The general plan also requires new development to place utilities underground to maintain viewsheds, reduce hazards associated with hanging lines and utility poles, and to keep pace with current and future technologies. Lastly, undergrounding would reduce visual impacts associated with installing a third overhead utility line in this rural area. For these three reasons, the department recommends that the transmission line be installed underground. I would like to now move to project recommendations.
Before you go to your recommendation, just a quick question on the height of the units. What, 492 feet, I believe you stated?
That would be the maximum.
So the ones that are out in Palm Springs area coming up Route 60, how tall are those?
Commissioner Woods, through the chair, it sounds like those turbines vary in height.
But, I mean, highest, shortest, anybody have an idea?
Commissioner Woods, through the chair, I can tell you that the Campo Reservation turbines, they're approximately 328 feet tall, I believe.
That's odd. I was out there and I thought they were 220 feet, but someone in the room must know, so we'll get to it at some point.
Okay. Well, we'll delve into that later. I just want
point of information.
So moving on to the recommendation. The department recommendation is consistent with the BLM decision to underground the transmission line and approval of an alternative that does not include any wind turbines on county land. I would also like to note that the CPUC issued a proposed decision yesterday on the ECO substation project, requiring a portion of the 138 kV transmission line be undergrounded. This proposed decision is also consistent with the department's recommendation. On December 1st, 2011, the Boulevard Community Planning Group voted to deny the project. The Department of Planning and Land Use recommends that your commission recommend to the Board of Supervisors that they approve the project with no wind turbines in the unincorporated area and undergrounding of the 138 kV transmission line, since staff is unable to make the use permit findings. This concludes our presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Slovak. At this point, commissioners, if you have questions of staff, please note them down and we'll address them after the break so Commissioner Beck can make his call. So we'll take a recess now and we'll be back in 10 to 15 minutes.